You doing? Good, good. God is good. Yes, God is good. You had a good nap? All right. Yeah, you should have had a good nap. Yeah, we had one service today. Well, except for some of you, you 8 o'clockers, we threw you off a little bit. But you still had a long nap. Let's see, 8 o'clock. We got out, what, about 12? And you ate, went to Luby's. Let's see, 2 o'clock. Yeah, you had a good nap. If you didn't, then you can just sleep when tonight is over with. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us, you might as well be happy tonight. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir. This is these are soldiers in here tonight. Soldiers in here tonight. But we still have too many empty seats. Yeah, we got too many empty seats. I wonder what people are doing right now. There's members of the church right now. What you think they doing? Yeah, watching TV, sitting up on the... Do they still call sitting on the dive-in? That's what they used to call it. They still call it the sofa now, huh? Yeah. Out at the park or wherever they are. But we're in the Lord's house tonight. Yeah, I'm glad you came back tonight. We had a great time this morning. One service where we had a packed house this morning, and Brother Gerby spoke to us. That was uplifting to me. I know I hope it was to you. Brother Ray interpreted this morning. But Ray, you are a talented man. Amen. We're thankful for you, Brother Ray. You're a blessing. You and Wilma, we're glad you all came back home. Yes, we're glad you came back home. And so don't go nowhere. Yeah, I know. But Ray could be preaching full time at a congregation right now. There are folks pulling at him right now. But Ray, don't go nowhere. I mean, you know, if the Lord, if the Spirit moves you, but it got to really be pulling on y'all. Ain't that right, Sister Wilbur? I'll dive right in. I got a young man asked me a question. This has been some weeks ago, actually, probably maybe some months ago. Asked me a question, Brother Gary, did God create everything? That was the question. Did God create everything? And he asked me the question. You can tell when a young man has been in a conversation with some other young men, and he was, and he's a Christian, and he asked me that question in all sincerity. And he said, he told me what he was in a discussion with some guys. And I rarely do this, but I know I probably should do this one Sunday morning when a lot of the young people are here, because I know what you believe in. But still, we need to have a way of answering some of these young people that come to us with this, because these are the kind of questions that they have. And he said, did God create everything? He said one of these guys, one believe in the Bible, and one don't know what he believe in, another one don't believe in the Bible. And he said, I gave him Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And in the beginning, God created it. He said, I gave him that, but he said, that's all I can remember. And so I said, hold it. I said, give me a minute. Let me send you a couple of scriptures. And one of the scriptures I sent him was the one you heard just a few moments ago, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16. But I've asked Tyler, one of our young men, to read. Brother Ray, give him that. Give Tyler that microphone over there. I've asked Tyler to read a few passages, and I gave him a few extra things. And I'm going to be brief tonight, but I just wanted to remind him that you're not alone. And I want to remind us that we are not alone in our faith in God. And that's the foundation for all things in life. It's what God, in all of his wisdom, he gave us in the inspiration of the scriptures. He's put in the first beginning of the scriptures, Genesis, the book of beginning. In the beginning, God. And if a person don't have that foundation, they will be mixed up the rest of their lives. And it needs to be a profound foundation. And so I did give him a few passages. I'm going to give you just a little bit extra. And this is one of the other passages that I gave him. So, Tyler, if you would begin reading in the book of Psalms, chapter 104 and verse 24. Psalms 104, 24. Everybody all right tonight, aren't you? Amen. Begin reading at verse 24.
O Lord, how manifold are thy works, okay. In wisdom hast thou made them all.
Okay, he's reading from the King James translation. And the psalmist writes, O Lord, how manifest, how many are your works? It says, in wisdom you have made them all. He asked me the question, Brother Gary, did God make everything? And I wanted to show him from the Word of God. It says, you've made them all. Keep reading, Tyler.
The earth is full of thy riches.
The earth is full of your riches, or your possessions. Read.
So is this great and wide sea, wherein all things creeping in.
He said, there's the sea, which is great and broad. Read, Tyler.
Both small and great beasts.
Both small and great beasts are in the sea. Verse 26.
There go the ships.
The ships move along. Read.
There is that Leviathan.
Leviathan. Now, that's the Leviathan. That would be, some of us say, well, did dinosaurs ever live? Yes, at one time, dinosaurs did live. And some of them were in the sea. And the Bible even describes this creature that God made. Read, Tyler.
Whom thou hast made.
Whom you made, or whom you formed to sport in the sea. Read.
These wait all upon thee.
He said, they wait on you. Read.
That thou mayest give them their meat in due season.
They wait on you to give them their dinner, their food, in due season. Read.
That thou givest them, they gather.
You give to them, and they gather. Read.
Thou openest thine hand.
God, you open your hand. Read.
They are filled with
good. And they are satisfied with your good. Read.
Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled.
They are dismayed. Read.
Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust.
You decide when they're going to die. Read.
Thou sendest forth thy spirit.
Yes.
They are created.
Yes.
And thou renewest the face of the earth.
Yes. Read.
The glory of the Lord shall endure forever.
He says the glory of the Lord. See, God made everything.
Bro.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a grown man about this, and I think I said it before. He was saying, you know, about, you know, he's indifferent about the Bible, and he said, well, you know, Gary, you know, there are other worlds, and there are other people, and there are other creatures, and there are other things. Go to Colossians chapter 1 now and read verse 16 again. Brother DeCour read that in you here in Colossians chapter 1 and read verse number 16, if you will. When you get to it, Tyler, read that for us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. Read that.
For by him were all things created.
This is what Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. These questions haven't just come up. You have folks throughout the ages have doubted. They have been doubters almost since the beginning of time. After man multiplied on the face of the earth, he said, read on, Brother Tyler.
That are in heaven and that are in earth.
He said everything in heaven. And everything's on earth. And you know what? There might be some aliens on Mars. And if they're there, God made them. Amen, amen, somebody? Amen. Yeah, God made everything. Read on, Tyler.
Visible and invisible.
He said, God, if you can see it or can't see it, God made it. Read.
Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities.
He says thrones, dominions, principalities, and scientific discoveries. You know, you got some smart scientists. They're building these telescopes, and they're seeing holes and black holes and other black holes and saying that there are more universes. If they are, God made them.
Amen.
He made it all. Read on, Tyler.
Or powers.
All or powers.
Things,
read.
All things were created by
all
him.
Things. Listen to the Bible. It says all. Everybody say all.
All.
What does that leave out? All things. Read on, Tyler.
And
were created
for,
what?
And for him.
Created by him. And everything was created for him.
Amen.
And so we might not have seen everything. But if it's anything, God made it.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And young man, He read the scripture. He said, this is what I was looking for. And even, you know, reading that sometimes, some folks still won't acknowledge who God is. And he's in school. He was in school. And I said, let me give you a little bit of more information. Give you a little bit more information. And I just sent him a few articles about Most of us, we know who Isaac Newton is. Isaac Newton has been called one of the greatest names in the history of human thought. He lived long ago in 1642. But Albert Einstein said about Isaac Newton that his own work would have been impossible if not for the discoveries of Isaac Newton. And, you know, Albert Einstein was said to be one of the greatest geniuses of his time. At the age of 27, Isaac Newton was known as an unparalleled genius. His achievements were remarkable in a number of areas. In mathematics, he invented the discipline known as calculus. Lord have mercy, calculus that I never mastered. He was the first to describe the concept of universal gravitation, or gravity, to note that the planets are held together in place by this force. It was Isaac Newton that discovered this and made it known to the public. He said, by examining sunlight as it passed through the prism, he showed that a white light is made of the colors of the rainbow. He also invented the reflective telescope. Isaac Newton, there's some smart people on this earth. But Isaac Newton was a deeply religious man. Yeah, he was a student of the scriptures. He was a student of science, but he was a student of the scripture. He authored theological books and he wrote in one of his writings, he says this is a quote from him: "The most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent, powerful, supernatural being that's not man." And you know, he was smarter than most men. Yeah, and so and I know you take it for what it's worth. He was just a man, but he admitted his limitations after even examining some of the things that some of us wouldn't even know what we're looking at. Tyler, read Psalms chapter 95 and begin at verse number 1. So this is for us. Psalms chapter 95 and begin at verse number 1. Read.
Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord.
Let us sing for joy to the Lord. I like brother Barry when they lead songs. They said, let's sing praises to the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Yes, is God worthy? Anybody that can create everything, isn't he worthy? He said, oh, sing joy to the Lord. Read on, Tyler.
Let us make a joyful noise.
Let us make a joyful, let us shout joyfully. Read.
To the rock of our
salvation. To the rock of our salvation. Verse 2. Read.
Let us come before his
presence. Let us come before his presence with
thanksgiving.
Read.
And make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise. Shout joyfully to him. Read.
With songs.
With songs. Read verse 3.
For the Lord is great.
Read.
And a great king above all gods.
A great king above all small G-O-D gods. Read verse 4.
In his hands are the deep places
of the earth. Are the depths of the earth. Read.
The strength of the hills.
I was watching a television series of all these folks trying to climb Mount Everest. They had a traffic jam of folks trying to climb Mount Everest. And I'm like, what are they? I guess it's a good feat. That would be something that I would love to stand on top of to see, but I surely don't want to climb it. But when they get on the top of that mountain, they must declare there must be a God. Somewhere we sing that song. There must be a God somewhere. Listen, Tyler, read verse 5.
The sea is his.
Read.
And he made it. And his hands formed the dry land.
It was he who made it. His hands formed the dry land. Read verse 6.
Oh, come, let us worship
and bow down. Let us kneel
before the Lord our maker.
Lord, have mercy. Louis Pasteur, you know that name. Some of you old students in here. In 1822, he lived from 1822 to 1895. He was called the father of modern bacteriology. His contributions to medicine, to chemistry, and industry were profound indeed. He was the first to show that living things come from only living things. He was the first man to show it, because God did that in the beginning. That yet, listen, God, but God, he showed that no man can create something from nothing. That's what he discovered. But little did he know. Well, I know he knew because he studied the scriptures. He also knew that God created something from nothing and would be the only one who could do that. Talking about Louis Pasteur. He challenged this Darwin theory that something came from nothing. The law that dramatically antagonistic against this evolutionary concept of spontaneous generation. And that argues that somehow life must have come from a non-life form. Pasteur is acknowledged even by those who are atheists as one of the greatest scientists in history. But he was a strong opponent of Darwin's theory of evolution. Pasteur's accomplishment in industry were many. He saved the silk industry by isolating a germ that was destroying silkworms. He combated the cholera and anthrax in cattle. He developed a treatment for rabies. But this is the statement about Louis Pasteur. Rather than destroying his belief in God, Pasteur's brilliant discoveries made him humble as he contemplated the marvels of divine creation. He argued that the notion of spontaneous generation that Darwin and those of his followers proclaimed, it threatened the very concept of God the Creator, and it makes no sense at all. Yeah, that's what Pasteur. And some of this stuff, it impresses those who are non-believers and non-Bible students. It impresses more than the Bible. And the Bible already told them what the truth was. Yes. And I want you to read one more passage for me, Tyler, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. Read that one for me. Tyler's doing a great job. Thank you, Tyler. Romans 1:20.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world.
For the invisible things. And see, that's why the Bible tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. And faith is not faith when you can see everything. When you can put your hands on everything. It's impossible to please God. But he says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, read on, Tyler.
Being understood by the things that are made.
He says, what you can't see ought to be understood by the things that you can see. Read.
Even his eternal power.
Even his eternal power. Then he goes on to say what?
So that they are without excuse.
And I just told a young man, I said, look. You give them scripture. You give them scripture. You give God credit. You give them as much evidence as you can. And son, you just leave it there.
Amen.
Because some things you can't do for people.
Amen.
Yeah, George Washington Carver. He was the director of agriculture research at the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. And he lived in 1864 through 1943. And many of you older historians, you know who he is because he developed 118 different products from the sweet potato. And he used peanuts and he created tapioca and starch and vinegar and molasses and library paste and rubber and a number of other products. From pecans, he produced more than 60 different items. He made 300 synthetic products from the peanut, including milk and cheese and coffee and ink and dye and shoe polish and cereal and soap and wood stain and insulation boards. A Carver was something else. Oh, he had some kind of brain and some kind of mind who God gave to him. But he marveled. George Washington Carver marveled at God's fascinating creation. It said that he arose at 4 o'clock every morning and he took solitary walks in the woods. And he told a friend one time, and I'm quoting from him, "At no time have I so sharp an understanding of what God means to do with me." He says, go in the morning when I'm walking and listening to God. I hear him speaking to me through his through nature. He said, I understand that God put me here for a person, for a purpose, and it's only God. Every Sunday, George Washington Carver at Tuskegee, he conducted an afternoon Bible class using the scriptures. He read the scriptures and talked about God and nature, because George Washington Carver, as smart as he was, as brilliant as he was, he knew that he was no match for God. And I don't know, you know, we got to keep talking to our young people. We got to keep encouraging them to turn to God for the ultimate answers to life's questions. And I hadn't talked to the young man again since the time that I sent him some information, and we talked a little bit, but he did send me a thank you text, and I hope that he didn't get bogged down with these unbelievers that he was talking to. And not only do I hope that he does not get bogged down, I surely, certainly hope that we don't get bogged down, and that we put our ultimate trust in God and God alone. You're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you need to be. And you come to the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I don't know, I guess it should be like this. You know, the older we get, the stronger our faith ought to get. You know, some of us, we've been through some times. We've been through some trials. And can't we still say that God is so good? And he's so merciful. And it's the best life. I wouldn't want to put all my faith in no man, no company, no entity, no business, because they're so wishy-washy. But God is the same. And if you come to the Lord tonight, God can still change lives. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, confess Christ and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, God would love to have you in his family even tonight. If you're here and you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you want to get something right, won't you come as we stand and sing the song.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light.